Feral Audio.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of Drew Trogi's Minor Revelations. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, I'm going to talk about something and try to sound intelligent, because that's what we do in life all the time. That's what human beings do. We just make noises and click and whir and hope for the best. I am on a really fun show called Cocktails and Classics. I've talked about it a lot. It's on Logo, and basically it's like we watch a movie and we comment on it and we drink. It's like the best job ever. It's, you know, because it's the greatest. Classics is a loose term, because some of them are like Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and All About Eve or Sunset Boulevard. I mean, they all have like a gay bend-ish kind of to them. And then some of them are more modern. You know, like we just did Hairspray and, you know, they did Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. And then we just last week we showed or viewed or whatever you want to call it, Soap Dish, which I've also talked about on the show just a few weeks ago. One of my favorite movies of all time. It is a classic. It's 26, I think, years. I think it was 91 when it came out. It's a wonderful, perfect movie and totally makes sense. But we got some flack from some members of the trans community or about using the movie. And if you remember, I'll sum it up. Sorry, spoiler alert. I'll sum up the movie for you. It's all set on this, you know, a soap opera called The Sun Also Sets, starring Celeste Talbert, played by Sally Field. She's quickly going through the tubes. Her life is falling apart. Her life is basically a soap opera while she's making a soap opera. So the whole film is a parody of the genre and it's written by Robert Harling, an insanely talented out gay man who wrote Steel Magnolias and The First Wives Club and millions of other things. So there's a big reveal with the character played by Kathy Moriarty. She plays Montana Moorhead, and the big reveal is, oh my God, she's actually a man. And the most offensive thing that happens in that whole reveal is that Robert Downey Jr., who's been sleeping with her this whole time or trying to sleep with her the whole time, upon hearing this news, runs off camera to go vomit, which is the go-to in every 80s comedy. Usually when it's like, oh God, you know, they might be just two guys, or, oh boy, this chick's actually a dude. And it's, you can name Ace Ventura, Naked Gun 3, the Crying Game, Bachelor Party. It's so tired and it's horrible. And it happens in this movie, and it's not a moment that we're proud of. We bring it on our show now when we're on Cocktails and Classics when we're talking about it. We're not going to not talk about that moment on a gay network, and you know, talking about a gay movie. And so we tried to comment on it and try to talk about it as people who are huge fans of the movie. And, you know, I will just, you know, defend what everybody said, because I think everyone made valid points on the show. And basically, you know, at that time, they were thinking of plot. They were not thinking of let's be sensitive. But they certainly were not thinking let's be insensitive to the trans community. The reason why I will defend Soap Dish is that it's a parody of soap operas that use these crazy gender twists and reveals, especially in the 80s. That's all they did. It was all of a sudden, this person's that. I mean, remember, I'm sorry, Erica Kane fought a tiger, okay? Dr. Marlena was the Salem Stalker. Deidre Hall is just killing people. Okay, remember Passions? That show Passions, there's a witch, like a face of a witch in a well that tells people to do things. Okay, this was on daytime television and just presented as casual entertainment. So Soap Dish is playing up on that. And yes, if it was in 2017, we would not be able to make that lazy joke. And thank God we've raised the bar. But this is a lazy move, not an evil one. You know, the enemy is not Robert Harling or Kathy Moriarty, ever. They are never our enemies. Let's talk about movies that came out way more recently, like Dallas Buyers Club, where you have a trans character named Rayon, who, like, I don't know. I mean, hey, live your life, live your truth. I don't know trans women who want to live, you know, authentic lives that are named after fabric. That just feels so Hollywood to me. Let's talk about the Danish girl, which starts as the male character who's very interesting and intelligent, wants to become a horrible, stupid woman who just wants to sell fragrance and be pretty. That's what happens in that movie. And you have the horrible moment where she pushes her genitals between her legs and stares at herself long ways in a mirror, you know, making you think of course, Silence of the Lambs. Why is that in this movie? Why is that ever, you know, authentic to anything other than teaching idiots like about life? I mean, it's terrible. These are things that we can go after in contemporary culture that are inauthentic, that are irresponsible. But somebody just posted that Soap Dish is indirectly responsible for killing trans women. And that's so blood boiling and so deeply irresponsible and disrespectful to both the LGBT community and to queer people and to women who made that movie. I mean, this is a comedy written by a gay man that showcases female talent like Sally Field, Kathy Moriarty, Whoopi Goldberg, Elizabeth Shue, Terry Hatcher, Kathy Najimy, and Carrie Goddamn Fisher. I mean, I think this movie is on our side, everybody. I think there are bigger things to be offended by and upset about. And this only makes us look like, I mean, this is why the other side looks at us and calls us snowflakes. It's like, this is why the infighting is what they want. I think we can all look at this moment in Soap Dish and say, you know what? Not great. We're learning. We're trying to do better. But, you know, we've learned. We're growing. I don't know what else to say. We have a president that said, I don't stand by anything yesterday. I don't stand by anything, said the president of the United States, who is debating whether or not we should have had a civil war and why it even happened. No one's ever questioned why it even happened. He also said that, you know, I think it's really important that we stay focused. We pick our battles and we fight the real enemy. You know, and that we can sort of see big picture. We can sort of see where we have come and where we are. And also, Soap Dish is fucking funny, you know, and it's really important. I don't say this lightly. Let's please not lose our sense of humor now or ever. It is vitally crucial to us to keep laughing, for us to see good intentions and not pick apart brilliant art for the sake of just having an argument. Let's not argue. Let's love. And let's talk to our guests coming right up. Yay. Well, hi, you two.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
I'm sitting here with Wendy McClendon Covey and Mitch Silpa.
Hi.
Hello.
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 How's everyone's day?
The day's great.
Great.
I'm feeling blessed.
Oh, good.
I'm feeling kind of high on life.
Oh, that's really great.
I just want the audience to know that Drew is wearing a shirt that says Drifter.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that...
And you're wearing Halloween
you've
socks.
Drifted,
you are wait.
You've drifted into my heart.
Oh my God, Wendy.
And
wow.
You're a poem.
Oh my okay. God, that's really okay. Great. Thank you. That's really, really great.
And Mitch.
Oh.
You look so fly.
So fly?
I'm fly.
You are so fly.
Am I fresh?
You are so fresh. You're so handsome.
My God.
Your skin is like, I just want to touch it. Mm. I'm not gonna.
No, but you want to.
I want to. It's so super soft looking.
Oh my God.
We're all
it's really
blessed.
Wonderful.
Anyway,
we're all so
here
blessed.
We are.
Here we
and
are.
And Donald Trump is still in the White House. Damn it.
Do you think when this airs, he'll be no longer the president?
Oh my God.
It's
I
possible.
Hope for that. I hope for that every week. I'm always like, okay, so this will be on next week and maybe there'll be impeachment, you know, happening or something along those lines.
Let
I just
me
want
say
someone
this.
In charge that's not terrifying. And
yeah.
That's where I am right now.
Yeah. I'd settle for Pence.
Oh my God. I mean,
you know?
Terrifying. but in a different way, but at least not somebody who's going to get us blown up.
Has some diplomacy.
Yes.
Can talk.
Can, yes.
Can speak.
Can right. use sentences.
Yeah. Right.
Properly.
I know.
So I was in D.C. over the weekend.
Oh, you were?
I was.
Did you go to the correspondent?
I didn't.
Okay.
No, I didn't. I was just there to lobby for the arts.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think I saw that you were doing that. That's great. Yeah.
But, you know, you go to a party and everybody gets a little tipsy and then they start talking.
Uh-huh.
And I spoke to a woman who knows things.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And she says that she just doesn't think that he'll get impeached, that he will throw up his hands and quit.
Yes.
Really?
I think so too.
I mean, it's what I mean, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Oh, so you think he'll.
Yeah.
Is it because he's just tired of the job or because he knows he has no way out and he's going to get in trouble? And he's like,
all of the above.
I would say,
and
yeah, also, I would feel both because it seems.
He does not have any support from people that know things.
Yes.
Okay. So even in his own party.
Right.
Okay,
well,
so when we met with mostly Republicans when I went.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And the staffers did a lot of eye rolling, a lot of like, yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
A lot of,
yes.
He doesn't know how this works and that's not how it works.
Yeah. I you can feel that just, you know, and it's just crazy. Like, you know, if this like. All this Russia stuff comes out, like how many people are going to be involved in that?
Yeah.
Or like, and just that, but I get mad all over again because I'm like, you're in charge of things. Mm-hmm. You're in charge of us. I have to look at you every day. I have to think about you every day.
And it does. I mean, even though people are saying, don't worry about that and all that stuff, while he's in office, there are people getting affected, like normal human beings.
Yes.
By his words and his decisions.
And his lack thereof of both. And it's like, and yes, but I do, it does seem like he hates the job. Mm-hmm. They all hate him. He's never been a Republican. So like the Republicans have never,
last week he said like, oh, this is much harder than I thought.
I know.
Like what kind of a child?
I know. Well, and then he also said, what was it yesterday, that the Democrats are trying to shut down the government. And then today said we should shut down the government. You know, the president is like advocating for a government shutdown. And the government's like, no, we're going to at least go through September, which is what they've just come out. So the government, it's like he's just at odds with everyone. He's loyal to no one.
Yeah.
And that will be his downfall because he's got no one around him. I mean, ultimately, that's what we've all
he's
known.
He's loyal to his family, I think.
But,
well, yeah. And the fan base of people who are like-minded.
Right.
And they're not the brightest bulbs and they're not listening to this podcast, so it's fine.
Exactly. They don't, you know, but I'm fascinated to hear the other side. I'm fascinated to talk to intelligent Republicans and people and I want to know, it's like we have to bond together in some way and just like get our country back and be like, we can disagree about certain things. And that's fine. And that's what makes this country great is that we disagree on things. So I don't think everybody should think the way I do and vote the way I do. And, you know, but this is just beyond. It's
an intelligent dialogue.
Yes.
Would be nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think if there is an upshot to the fact that Trump won, I think it was eye-opening how we were not aware of, we being liberal people, how many people in this country were actually suffering, like financially, and so felt so desperate, where things felt great for us, like progress and stuff was scary to them, and that shouldn't be ignored.
Absolutely not, because also the more we pull away from that and we look down on those people and we say they're all racist, ignorant, bigoted people, we're creating Trump. Like that's what happens.
Yeah.
It's
like
you know, people were actually terrified under Obama, which we just don't understand, but we need to figure out why and figure out a way to be like, let's be a team, misinformation. So it is the weird galvanizing thing. And it's made so many people protest and feel things and young people are like, I have something to fight for. And it's given people a cause, you know, and we need that. And we need to never think that life is just going to just happen easily for us and things, you know, are given to us.
We all kind of lived in a bubble.
We did. Yeah. We totally did.
And we have to let our voices be heard by our legislators. Because they need direction.
Yes. Yes.
They want to hear from you, believe it or not. Yes. I was surprised to hear that, that they really do want to hear from you. They will do what their constituents want.
Well,
and is what they're supposed to do.
Well, that's what they're supposed to. And the other thing is, like, you know, we only hear about the crooked government. We, you know, and it's all this, and there's so much corruption and it's politics and all this stuff. But also, like, if they were just like evil, twisted people that wanted to make, there are a lot easier ways to make money than being a
being a public servant.
Exactly. You make no money doing that. You have to love it so much. You have to eat, sleep, and breathe it. You sacrifice.
You'd make
your
more money doing improv.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's true.
So guys, if you want to be evil, do improv.
Yes.
I just want to
rule
the world. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes and.
Yes and now I will complain to people that can actually help and not just out into the void.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Exactly. And that's also true. It's like, you know, it's great to post things on Facebook to your vacuum of people, but it's way better to call.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I never, ever called the White House, and I've done it many times, and I was like,
this is easy.
I was so nervous the first time I called. I was like, I don't know why, what's going to get in trouble, or I'm going to be put on a list, or I'm going to be yelled at.
But
or,
they were not. The people
they were very nice.
Very nice.
Or I will leave a message, or they, you know, they want to get off, you know, and you're just like, that's what this is all about, kind of, you guys. That's what we're doing here. So,
great show.
Great show. Anyway, well, I want to talk to you guys. Tell me a story or a revelation or something.
You want to go first, lady?
No, you can.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Oh, Wendy. My story, I hadn't thought about this in a long time, but I think maybe I've never really revealed it to anyone.
Oh, I love it.
And I actually feel bad about it. When I was, younger than this, I used to work, I had a lot of like weird, like a customer service job and like I worked at three different bookstores in my life. Back when there were bookstores.
God, I miss bookstores.
Yes. Me too.
They're my favorite thing, to just go wander around and get lost in a bookstore.
Oh. I know.
It's weird. Is this weird to say I like the smell of bookstores?
I love the smell of bookstores.
And it takes me back. The public library, to hijack your story, I'm so
no,
sorry.
Go but
when
for
I was
it.
Three, when I was 3 and 4 years old, we lived in this small tent, Lincolnton, North Carolina. Then we moved away. We moved a bunch of different places. And when I was in sixth grade, we moved back to Lincolnton. And I walked into the library and the smell hit me. And I was like, this is one of my earliest sensations. Like, I know the smell.
I like the smell of books.
Yeah. I totally know. Yeah.
Although sometimes in bookstores, this is so gross. There's like, this is not even necessary and has nothing to do with my story. But I've worked at so many bookstores that when you walk through them, there's like pockets of farts that like people will fart in a bookstore and it like lingers in certain, they're like, and we would always say, oh God, in the mystery section, there's a fart.
they live in the shelf.
They don't move.
That's awesome.
The books just lock them in.
So the first, I don't even know if this is like if I'm in trouble legally for this, but like one of the bookstores I worked at and I was younger, I stole books on a regular
basis.
That's
kind of wonderful. Oh.
No, but I mean that I stole or that it was books.
Well, yeah, that it was books.
Yes. And added to it, so many of my friends would come in and I would give them books and put in the bag. I mean, probably under the guise of like, I'm probably honestly because I wanted people to like me, like that shit.
No.
But like, I feel terrible that I stole. I had no conscience about it.
I have a question.
Yes.
So when you say stole, you mean took home permanently, not just borrowed long term.
That's exactly it. I didn't even. Yeah. I didn't sign
like
them
you
out.
You read it in the bathroom and the bathtub, and
I didn't
like,
go in the bathtub, but I have, and some of them I still have.
I'm really
you
surprised
read in the bathtub?
To hear that. I'm really surprised.
Oh,
I know they get wet, but no. But they were mostly like honestly not even like great books. They were mostly like books about the history of film or Pauline Kael. You know Pauline Kael?
Of course.
Oh.
Yeah, Pauline Kael.
I was obsessed with Pauline Kael. I mean,
Xanadont, one of her best reviews ever. You know that about Xanadu?
Oh.
Her review of Xanadu, she took out a full column and what was it, the Times or the Post? What was her?
She wrote for the New Yorker.
The New Yorker.
Yeah.
She took out an entire column of the paper and her review just said Xanadont. And then the rest of it was completely blank.
I remember her.
That's
Yeah.
Very efficient and correct.
That's Pauline Kael for you.
Two of the things I remember her reviewing, one was Rain Man, and she called Dustin Hoffman's performance, she said, it's Dustin Hoffman humping the same note of a piano for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, and if you ever get a chance to look it up, I highly recommend reading her review of the movie MAME with Lucille Ball.
Oh, my God. One of the worst movies ever.
But she
Have you seen that movie,
No.
Wendy?
You've never seen it?
With okay, Lucille Ball?
Yes. Lucille Ball, who is charmless.
And B. Arthur.
B. Arthur, who's always great. But Lucille Ball, who gives the worst. I mean, and you know, and if you've heard this show, you know I'm not a huge Lucy fan.
Mame.
But her MAME, it's the most grinded out, angry, and it's just like at that point in the 70s, when she's just like
bitter,
scotchy and clowny.
And also added to it, it's like one of the first movies where they're using that soft focus thing. And so they'll cut, like if we're doing a scene and everyone else looks normal.
Yeah.
And she looks normal in the master shot. And then they'll cut to her close up and it's like someone put Vaseline in front of her face.
It's just shot on Kleenex.
It's so obvious. And also, she said, Pauline Kael said, to your point, like she ripped into Lucille Ball about her singing. She goes, when that sound comes out of her mouth, and she says it's somewhere between a quaver and a croak, is that singing? And she goes, when she lifts her arms in the air, is that supposed to be fun?
I just remember Drew calling her a screech owl.
Oh my God, I did? Oh my God. Oh my God.
Mame.
Well, it's we
need a little Christmas.
You know, a group of friends, we always get together for New Year's. We go to Palm Springs and we always watch movies and we'll sit and we watch them. And so we try to put on Mame one year and we're like, let's watch it. It's terrible. It'll be so fun.
But
we
you get
wine.
Transfixed.
We were so upset by it. We were watching it going, oh my God, this is so bad. That's so bad. And then our friend Jordan Firstman just said, can we turn this off now? And it was almost like, we were like, I don't know. Like we continue to watch for another 10 or 15 minutes. Cause you're just like,
I
guess you just have to stop watching it because it's just, it just sits there. It does. It's not even like, oh, it's so bad. It's fun or, you know, it's just horrifying.
I can't stop watching it and I hate it and I have better things to do with my life, but you get transfixed on it.
Well, it also just like really like ended her career. I mean, like it was like she was the queen of comedy and everything. And then that movie came out and people were like, well, maybe we don't like her. Maybe we don't love Lucy because this was...
Maybe we don't love Lucy.
Because like the Broadway show was such a huge hit. I mean, it was, you know, Angela Lansbury and it was this huge thing, but it was like, not great. But I love that you stole books.
Yeah. I did.
What was the, you know, was it because it was like you didn't have, I mean, was this when you were in high school, you were saying?
It was like right after high school, beginning of college.
Was it like, I don't have the money to buy these books or I just don't care?
I mean, I think it was more like, I just didn't think about it. Like, I just took them. Like, I knew it was wrong, but like, I just took them.
Did you ever steal anything else?
No.
Cause like
I stole books. I'm like, what an asshole.
Well, no, but that's so. But that's. I mean, I don't know. There's something about that's kind of Robin Hood about that. I'm like, at least it was books and wasn't like, you know, you were just like just. But a lot of people like they go through a period in their lives and they steal little things and.
But that was you'd be surprised. I mean, if you guys were, I'm sure you've worked customer service at some point.
Sure.
But like the amount of thievery that goes on with the people working there. There was one of the bookstores I worked at. I remember there was a guy who was an assistant manager who got in trouble and got like arrested because he would take people's credit cards, like real credit cards. His own credit card. I'm sorry, and he would. Decharge, what is it when you credit your credit card? He was doing it on his own credit card.
Oh, what an idiot.
I mean, how are you not going to be caught?
Exactly. So people were like, oh, I had this weird charge from my card to his card?
No, he would take his, because you could take somebody's card, like if someone came in, they were returning they bought a book, and you could used to be able to just do this thing where, you know, that
so
machine.
So he'd get the refund and they would
his,
get nothing.
His own card, Yeah.
Well, then you get caught immediately when people don't see that they have a refund. They'd be like, I didn't, where's my refund? Oh, it's all going to this one account.
It was a really dumb idea.
Who happens to work here. Oh,
that
that's
was
so
a dumb
nuts.
Idea, but he was probably, what, 17, 19?
No, this was a man.
He was an older man.
He was at least in his 40s.
You know.
Oh, my God.
I used to work
man.
In the jewelry business. And it was the older people always who were stealing.
Mm.
Really?
Like, stealing. Like, just taking wads of cash out of the register.
Oh, my God.
Or taking loose stones. And it was always the college students that had to take the lie detector tests.
Wow. Because
we were making minimum wage.
Right.
And they just assumed.
Assuming.
It was always us. But
it's like Dirty Dancing, the old people in Dirty Dancing. You're like, they're, watch out for those, you know, those old people. That's, and why? You know, when like, were they just?
I think they just didn't feel like they were getting paid enough. Uh-huh. They were not, or it's just an entitlement thing or like a victim thing of like, well, I'm not getting what I need out of life, so I'm going to make it happen this way.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But to take, you know, for some reason, like, I don't know why it's worse to me, and it's all stealing, but, like, the taking the wads of cash feels
that's,
worse to me than
that's
taking
what I don't
the
think
product.
It's, I don't think it's, I mean, yes, it's all stealing, and you could, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, all sin is equal or whatever you want it, but, like, I don't think so. I think it's, like, you're taking books that you care, things that you care about.
I did care about
them.
And
you really wanted to learn about them, and you're still talking about
them. If you ever go,
all these years later,
the next time you come over to my place, I will show you a collection of Pauline Kael books. I have them all still.
Oh, my God.
My
I
hot
love
books.
So, and were they bestsellers? You know what I mean? So it's like, I have to love that you were stealing books on film criticism.
I know. Exactly.
You and also taking, about the Oscars. I have a lot of Oscar books.
But that's like where you're, that comes from a real deep, passionate place in you. That's not just like, I'm going to steal because I don't care. I'm just going to take things. It was like.
Yes. I had a method to my
was there,
thievery.
Well, I'm just trying to totally like break this down. Were you like, do you remember? Were you like out at that time? Were you
out of the
like,
closet?
Uh-huh. Were you, was this wrapped up in like the secret thing that I'm doing, a secret life?
I was not out then, but I don't think it had anything to do with that. Maybe.
If it was like, oh, this thing that I just do on my own and I love, you know, I don't know if
until,
you're connected
until I can
to,
suck a cock.
Well, yeah, right.
I'll
suck
steal
on
this.
Pauline Kael's words. I'll get her words in my mouth and it'll be good enough for now.
I'll smell these books before I smell semen.
I'll smell the hidden farts in these books.
I just wonder if it's like a secret thing or like a, you know. I mean,
you know what it might be, if there is any sort of connection, is that I guess looking back on it before I was out, there's like an emotional disconnect to everything.
Yes.
Like you feel, so maybe there was a disconnect that this is like there's ramifications to this or it's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like even though I knew it was wrong, I didn't care.
Right.
But I think that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like I was stealing like gay books. I mean, I guess Oscar books are gay in a sense, but
that's what. Yeah,
but it
that's
wasn't
why
like I was stealing porn.
Right, it's something you'd be embarrassed to be caught with. Like
or
you would
Daniel
never,
Steele.
You would never buy right porn or Danielle Steele.
Oh, that's it.
Both gateways.
Barbara Cartland, was that her name?
Cartland. I think it is. Yeah.
I know. Yes, I vaguely remember. Judith Krantz and
Judith
I remember
Krantz.
Getting Hollywood Wives like my mom had that and it is filthy. Jackie Collins.
Yes. Jackie Collins.
It is, I mean, upsetting. Like, I mean, I remember being like, this is porn with words.
Really?
Like, then Hollywood Husbands. If you read them out, you're like, this is, and everyone's like a horrible, everyone's like really horny and.
It's like very 80s.
Uh huh. And it's just women at lunch. It's all just like ladies at lunch telling sex stories. And they all are like just wives of, you know, men that are doing things. And the women are just like drinking and screwing everybody in town. And it's just like,
that
just total
dreary.
Beach reading. It's terrible.
Dreary.
It's so dreary.
Do you know what I just remembered? Because I'm now everything's flooding back to me of those memories. Do you know who came into that? The first bookstore. I don't even know if I could say the name of the bookstore because I feel like I could be arrested.
Why?
Can you get arrested after all these years?
No.
It was B. Dalton. Remember B. Dalton?
B. Dalton. Yeah. I remember B. Dalton.
There was.
I don't think they're in business anymore.
No. I don't think so. Michael Jackson lived in the area. It was in Encino.
Uh-huh.
And he came into the bookstore before it opened and there was a woman who worked there who was in charge of the children's books. I can't remember her name now. And he came in specifically to buy children's books, and with the that mask on that he would wear.
Oh, right.
But he bought. He was only interested in children's books. Make of that what you
yeah.
want.
And was this? And they let the they would open the store early for him, so
yeah,
he could go shopping.
Come in on,
so that,
yeah.
Oh, didn't wow. you go to school with the Jacksons?
Yeah. Oh, you, Janet Jackson. Did I never tell you the Janet Jackson story?
No.
Really?
I didn't know this.
Oh. Well, oh. This is. I'm sorry to take up all of this
no,
time.
This
no.
This is.
I love it.
When
it's
the world needs to hear this.
Yes.
When my family moved to Encino when I was like in first grade, and my sister is a year older than me, and we were new in the school, and we didn't know a lot of people, and the Jacksons lived in Encino, and Janet Jackson was going to that school, and I think she was probably the only like African American kid at this school, and very shy. And we became friends. We were like friends because we all had no friends. We were friends. Then the next year, she didn't come back, and she was okay. So then years
this
later,
this was before Penny and Good Times.
Before, yeah, this is like second grade.
Okay.
Before Penny got burned by an iron.
Yeah. One of the most traumatic things ever to be put on television.
That kept me up at night.
Oh,
of
me too. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so years later, my first job that I ever had was at McDonald's. I was 16, and I was working in drive-thru, and I was just handing the bag to somebody, not even looking, and some girl's voice said, "Is your name Mitchell?" And I looked, and it was Janet Jackson with some, like, older man. Yeah, and... But this was like, I mean, she was well known, but she was, this is right before like Rhythm Nation, before
okay,
she came
okay.
out.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
And I went, Janet. And then she's like, hi, we went to school together. Like, I remember, and then that was it. And I still feel like, I have nothing to base this on, but I still feel like all these years later that if I saw her, because you know how you remember the people that you
of
were friends
course.
With in
if
first
she remembered
grade,
you
yeah.
from there to there, she'd
like,
remember
she would
you
know
still.
Me.
Of course.
Like,
yes,
would
you guys
know?
Would be good friends. You know, have lots of adventures.
Of course.
And, adventures.
And you go back that far with people, they will remember. I mean, we all remember everybody from that, especially.
I guess. People that you were friends with.
They become your friend as a kid. That's such a formative thing.
So if Janet's listening, I remember
Janet.
You. Janet.
Janet,
reach out to Mitchell.
Why do you keep complicating your life, Janet?
Janet, why are you
Mitch
going to McDonald's
here.
Looking for Mitch?
He's Mitch is here.
She keeps driving.
Use him as a resource. Bring your baby
She's
out
going
here.
So many McDonald's all over the Southland trying to find Mitchell.
Oh, Mitchell, my first friend.
Oh my God.
I love that.
I love that too. I did not know that at all. But
I never stole anything from McDonald's though.
Oh yeah. See, because you weren't passionate about McDonald's.
I like the fries.
Sure.
Mother.
Well, that's your opinion.
Oh, great.
Keep that to yourself.
Great. Thanks for the discussion.
Wendy.
Oh. Well, I've gone back and forth between what I want to talk about.
Oh, I love it.
And you've had some ghostly tales.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I was thinking about that, but maybe that's going to just end up in a sermon.
Oh.
So I'm going to tell you about the time an older man, sniffed my ass in Target.
What? Oh, my God.
And I think I did not handle it correctly.
I need to. Okay. We have to unpack all of this because I don't really know what the correct way of handling that is.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take the blame. All right.
Oh, no. Don't victimize yourself.
No, I'm not. I'm empowering myself by owning my shit. Okay. So I live around the block from Target. I'm there a lot.
Good for you.
All right. When I go to Target, I look like an enchantress.
Right.
I usually have on a flip-flop.
Oh.
A baseball hat.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. This particular day, I was wearing like a shorty romper.
Okay, a shorty
it
romper.
It was not cute. All right, it was not pretty at all. And I thought, you know, I think I need a bra. Let me go to the bra section, see what's going on with maiden form.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's always a couple of skeevy guys just cruising the bra section.
Oh,
God.
But, you know, it's Target. You're like, I need some jalapenos, some candles, and a bra.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And I need it at an affordable price.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Bras are crazy expensive,
yes,
too.
That's
something that, like, when I've played the ladies and I have to go get a bra, I'm always, like, offended by it. For what? I'm like, for this? And I'm like, and women have to have many of these.
Yes. And you should be getting rid of yours every 6 months.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For what reasons?
Because they lose their brazziness.
Okay.
Their ability to keep the ladies up.
Keep everything up. Yeah. Okay.
And then you just you start flapjacking around, and it's hazardous.
So
anyway, I'm in the bra section. I'm looking through the bras, and I feel on the backs of my legs.
Oh my God! Oh
someone
my God.
Go.
Oh, wait. My God.
Okay. I feel the sniffing.
You felt like the nose air.
Yeah, being sucked in. I'm like, what? I turn around, and this man in probably his late 60s stands up and starts kind of trying to maneuver through the racks. I said, what the fuck? And he bolted out of the store. All right, that's it.
So this late 60s man yeah. mm-hmm. was pretending to like bend over and get something, but like sniffed your ass.
Yes.
That is insane.
Now,
to be so close.
Joke's on him. I needed a diaper change. No.
Why are you taking responsibility for it?
Because he was a man in his late 60s ish. Uh-huh. And before I screamed obscenities, I should have been sensitive and said, do you have dementia?
Oh, well, yeah, probably. Okay, but
I don't
if the answer is yes, where is your caretaker? Could I call someone for you?
Oh, well, sure. But also, like, that immediate feeling of, like, I'm not safe.
Also, yeah,
this man is sniffing me. Like, that's not.
Yeah, late 60s isn't
it's
that
not that old.
No.
I'm just saying, obviously, I'm not taking responsibility for any of this. I'm just saying that sometimes people do horrible things.
Yes.
And you react in a logical manner and people jump all over your butt for like,
right.
You don't know. He belonged to somebody. He could, maybe he had dementia.
Sure.
Maybe he was having some kind of an episode. Maybe he was, you know, mentally ill. Okay.
Okay.
Right, that's,
yeah, you're right. Those
you're
are
right.
all valid
Those
points.
Are all points.
He also sniffed my ass.
Exactly.
And next time that happens, I will take all of this into consideration.
Exactly.
And I will run through my checklist of what
so
I should have
thinking.
Done.
But there's
exactly. But you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's
now, I commented recently on Facebook about that. I walked into Gelson's and there was a housewife looking woman. I would judge her just by looking at her. She seemed like she was doing just fine.
Uh-huh. A housewife woman?
Housewife woman who was doing just fine. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
But she was pumping lotion into her hands and rubbing it on her legs, like just to completely moisturizing her full thigh, calf, kneecap, ankle,
what?
All of it.
At Gelson's?
At Gelson's in the middle of the day.
Just
using
lotion.
The free lotion. People. And it was like a little stand where it was like local artisans had made things. So this was someone that actually, it wasn't like you were taking Jergens. It wasn't like you were stealing books. It's like you're taking out of somebody's like livelihood.
Yeah.
And she was just using the lotion and to moisturize her whole legs. It wasn't like to try it out. And it's like, do I like how this smells or how does it feel? She was taking full advantage of it. So I commented on it. I like posted it because I was like, it was also disgusting to watch someone just like rub their legs in the middle of it. And I'm like, no,
especially
thank you.
A housewife woman who's doing well.
Yeah.
Well, that was the detail that I left out in the post. And there were people that were commenting like, sort of to what you're saying, Wendy, like, you don't know what she's been through and maybe she needed. And it was all this like, people needed to be the better person in that moment to be like, she could have been really needy. And I was like, well, I don't need to, I guess I'll comment next time. This woman was not like, she was just stealing and using and being gross. And it was just one of those things I looked at. I was like, oh, I want to put that somewhere and talk about it. But it is funny when people take the moral high ground in those moments and you're like, okay, yes, possibly.
But probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, yeah. Come
and
on.
Also, like, if this person is that did that to you, was had dementia, or was mentally all those things, valid points. But he still
did it
what
and
he
shouldn't
did.
Be doing it.
And at what point are you? And who is? I don't understand how it's ever logical, like in that moment, how you have the wherewithal. And this is making me think of a crazy story that Maya Angelou told. And, you know, if I always love to dip in every week that she was terrible, but, you know, RIP, but whatever. Maya Angelou told this story about years ago that this man broke into her house. And she was like, she could hear the rustlings and rumblings, and this man was in her house. And she said, I reached into my nightstand. I pulled out my handgun. And he came into my room, and I had the gun pointed at him, and I said, is it really worth it? And everyone is like, wow, what a great story. And I was like, I don't believe that.
I call
bullshit on that. Because, like, someone's has broken into your house, like, that's when you're, like, you're that calm to be like, oh, I'm going to have the upper hand. Now, it just sounds like an episode of Dynasty or something where you're like, that's not what you do in real life. When someone's threatening your space, right. You freak out, you cuss, you say, what the fuck?
It's fight or flight.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't have this calm. The perfect line.
Oh, I know.
Can I jump on why another thing that's gross about that? Like, if that did happen, what was the point of fucking sharing this?
Absolutely.
Like, to tell everyone, look how great I handled the situation.
That's how everything she did was. Well. Everything was, when faced with adversity, this is how I dealt with it. And no one else will come close to how cool and regal and, you know, beautiful with words I was in that moment. And that's ultimately why I cried bullshit on everything about her, because I was like, that's not human about you. Like, you're a poet.
It's not relatable.
And there's nothing relatable about in that story, because you know, people love to, you know, after the fact say, oh, here's what I would have said, or here's how I would handle the situation.
Or here's how you should have responded, because you just don't know. You know what? I don't. And neither do you.
No, exactly.
And when that happens to you, we'll see
exactly.
If you don't scream the F word.
Right. And they're just moments in your life that you blow up and you're not proud of, but you're like, I felt attacked.
Yeah.
Well, also, can I just say before these people who would go to you, like, well, you don't know what he was like. Maybe he was mentally ill. Like, you don't know what your story is. Like, mm-hmm. You don't know
exactly.
Wendy's story is. You don't know if she's had a history of bad situations with men. And it's... like, behave and learn how to be.
Learn how to be.
Do the best you can in every situation. And, yeah, the next time I see, you know, some kind of altercation going on, for instance, I got in a screaming match with some man in Georgia, some old bigot, because he was being very bigoted to a young African-American man behind the counter.
Oh.
And I finally said, you know, he's not doing anything to you, and this needs to stop.
Great.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then he started calling me abusive.
Wait, he called you abusive? Yeah, he called me abusive.
That's usually the go-to.
I started using the F word, blah, blah, blah. But again, I was criticized for, well, you know, sometimes old people with dementia, they start, you know, they say the wrong thing and this and that. Okay, I'll run down my checklist. Do you have dementia? Do you have Tourette's?
Right.
Are you in need of your medication right now?
Right.
Are you diabetic? Do you need me to put a cookie in your mouth quickly? And then you apologize to this man? If none of those things are true, stop using the N-word.
How about you stop that? Because you turn around and you interview the other guy, like, are you African-American? Are you young? Mm-hmm. Are you working for your life?
Yeah. Does this happen to you a lot?
That's all you're doing in this situation is just being here in this moment in front of this crazy person.
Nobody else stands up for you?
I know, because everyone's scared. And you see those videos where, like, someone's being really racist and everyone's sort of uncomfortable and sort of, like, yeah, it's a horribly upsetting situation and somebody has to step in. And, like, if you're that demented with Tourette's and all those problems, stay at home and get fed peaches. Like, don't go out into the world.
Right. Wear a little shirt or a little button or something that says...
Like a cutoff shirt?
No, just like a shirt that says, I might, you know, have an outburst. I don't know.
I mean, it's like, that's the thing where you're like, why are we supposed to be sensitive to the oppressors? And why are we all of a sudden like, no, like it wouldn't happen.
They have families. Well, I bet their families are embarrassed.
Exactly.
I also have a family. Yeah, this kid has a family. Right. We all have families.
Exactly.
What's your point?
Yeah,
once
again, he also has a birthday.
Learn how to be.
Right.
Yeah. Just
right.
like that's just learn how to be.
Yeah.
It's and just, when you don't, when you make a mistake, apologize for it. But don't sit here and go, you don't understand what my situation is. We all have all have damage.
Absolutely. And to be human is to have damage. And like, we don't have time for your backstory and your situation. All we have is this transaction.
Yeah.
And if you're calling someone the N-word or if you're sniffing someone's ass, it's not okay. And it's like, so I might not react in the best way. Like, of course. Like, I mean, how are you?
Your right to have a good day ends when you cause me to have a bad day.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we're both at a disadvantage.
And I also think, too, and I have too much of my father in me, and my dad would be notorious for calling people out on bad behavior, and my whole family would be so embarrassed because he'd be the first one to be like, if someone, you know, and my mom always just say, like, the world doesn't need to know how you feel all the time about everything. But he definitely passed that on to me and my brother. And it's like, when people are rude or inappropriate or whatever. And it's like, and it's also like adding that, like, doing what we do for a living, we're so just knee jerk and just respond to what, you know, it is. And I know it makes people uncomfortable when I call out bad behavior, when I, you know, but I was just having coffee this morning with a friend and everybody that worked at the coffee shop was miserable. And I turned into a place that I was like, actually, like, it was just fun to me to laugh at. But when I got there, though, you know, this morning, and it's like, I kind of let her know that she was being an asshole, and my friend was uncomfortable, and I was like, I'm sorry, but I was just like, that all could have been avoided had she just said hi, and, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, when I go up and I'm ordering a cup of coffee, which is obviously not, you know, like being sniffed or whatever, but like, it's just the thing where you go up and I'm like, and I say, hi, how are you? And then it just, you're met with this flat, like, what can I get you? It's like, it's 9 a.m. What has happened to you so far? And you're working here. So just be, you know, and so I just, you know, I started with, wow, okay. And then I could feel my father creeping into me. And I'm not proud of being that way, but I'm also like, I have to get that out in some way.
No, I admire it.
No,
because
She vibed you. It wasn't just that she said, what can I get you? She had a little spice to it, you know?
Uh-huh. And it was just this really curt, what can I get you? And I ordered something, and it was just this, there was this dead, like, flat affect thing that I was going, okay, nothing. And then this other lady that was like just making espresso on the side just had this miserable look on her face. And I'm like, oh my God, everybody that works here is just pissed, you know? And it's, but I have to, I don't know the best way of handling those situations. Yeah. You just pretend it doesn't happen. I'm just so sensitive that I pick up on that way too much, and I have to deal with my own thing.
I don't think there is a best way. I think it's completely situational, because I think sometimes the best way is to, like, go, wow.
Yeah.
And make them feel like that. Don't treat me like that.
I just said, wow. That's all I said.
All I said was hi to you, and you don't have to, like,
and I
don't want anything from you. Just say hi back.
Yeah. Well, I also have a thing, and I don't know if you found this way, Mitch, but, like, with gay guys, that sometimes when they're working places, they immediately give you the vibe of, I'm not into you.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm just trying to be nice. I'm just trying to get a cup of coffee.
Oh, you think just saying hi, they think, don't flirt with me.
Sometimes gay guys will be really, they'll shut down. In a weird way that I'm like, oh, that's what this is. Because it's this feeling.
Because they feel like they bring hit on all day?
I guess. How horrible for them. But I'm also like, I just want a cup of coffee. And I'm like, but I've noticed it a couple times enough. And where it's like, when I'm just, and if I approach and I'm like, hi, how are you today? And they're like, fine. What do you want? And they're so curt.
They hate, and also they hate their jobs.
They hate their jobs. And I get it. I've done it before.
Too.
I've worked in those jobs, and I get it. And all I'm trying to do is be nice to you, because when I was in those jobs, people would just scream at me all day, and no one was treating me like a human being. And all I'm trying to do, and I'm not a wonderful person. It's not like I wake up every day and, like, I'm going to brighten someone's day at a coffee shop today. I just try. It's easier that way. It's just nicer to go up and go, hi, how are you? I'd like a blah, blah, blah. As opposed to just, I'm going to shout my order at you and push money
your
way. Right. And, there's also a way about that. And I'm also like, dude, like, general managers not say to people, like, this is kind of part of the job. You kind of want to be in, like, it feels, I don't know. But
do you think that we were just like when we did these jobs, because, you know, we're of a certain age that we're like, we're all young, but like, it's just different now. Like, you know, like you were told like customer service and that customer's always right and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know if that matters anymore.
There's a vibe in a lot of places now. A lot of bars have it and coffee places have it because they're just like, we have what you want. We don't have to be nice to you. It's kind of the whole energy here is just a little snotty, and it's like, that's awful.
Although I have been noticing the pendulum's been going the other way now. Like there's certain places where they overhype, saying hi, how are hi? Coffee Bean does it, like hi, mm-hmm. And it's too
Robex
much.
Juice used to do it but they were so dead inside. You'd walk in there, like hi, how are you? And there was just this like nothing.
And
They wouldn't look at you. They would just be like nothing. They're just like annoyed, but they said hi, how are you? And it's just like,
So I know somebody responded to one of those people and just said, I'm dying. And they had they didn't respond to it. Oh, hi, how are you? I'm dying. Do you know, I'm sorry, Jim Cashman and I, we have this thing. He still gets these calls still from telemarketers and stuff. I don't know. He's not on I don't know how he gets. So we've been writing together.
Call list.
Yeah. And so when I take the phone from him, because he'll do these bits when he answers and he'll try to engage them like he's interested. Oh my God, thank you for telling me this.
Oh my God.
I will take the phone sometimes and my bit is I will answer the phone. I'll go, hello. And they'll go, hi. And I'll just say, this is terrible. I'd say, My daughter's dead. And just let that say, my daughter is dead. And then I'll start crying. What did they say? One time someone yelled at me. They knew I was lying. But mostly they don't know what to say. And I just start crying and hang up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Is that terrible? Is that
worse than saying terrible.
That's
terrible.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
Am I a bad person?
Well, I don't know. You steal books and you lie to people
young.
I don't know. What do you think about yourself?
But I don't feel great, but it's funny in the moment.
Oh, my God. I love it. And
that's hilarious.
And I don't have a daughter.
The poor people who have to do those jobs, you know, you feel bad because they have to do that.
The idea that someone's daughter died and they answer the phone
but if you
and
answer
announce
with
my
that,
daughter's
like,
dead.
It's so...
Sorry.
It's terrible. Hilarious because it's so insane that would all happen and it would go down like that.
Like, why would you answer the phone?
Yeah. He would answer the phone and then tell a stranger just out of... Like, it just happened.
When did she die? 20 years ago.
And that's how he just answers the phone. What can I help you? My daughter's dead. What can I help you with? 20 years ago. Anyway, I'm sorry. What were you saying, Drew?
No, I just, you know... just having fun with that because, oh my God, my grandfather does that when people, because he gets so many calls. And my 88-year-old grandfather will like play with them and keep them on the phone. They just told me recently that he loves getting it and he'll just keep people on and just try to, and let them do the whole spiel. And he's like, oh, that sounds great. I'm so, and just
I love
completely,
that.
Completely fucks with them, which I think is so wonderful. Oh. But also they get targeted that my grandmother doesn't always know better. And she got a phone call and it was this guy called and said, it's your grandson. And of course my grandmother goes, Drew? And he goes, yeah. And he's like, I'm in jail. I need money.
Oh, no.
And did that whole thing.
Yes.
And she was like, I knew it wasn't your voice. And I said, well, it doesn't sound like you, Drew. And he said, I've been in a wreck. I can't really talk very well. And please send me money. And then my grandmother said she asked a couple more questions and then the guy ended up hanging up on her because she was asking too many questions.
Someone pulled that same scam with one of the kids that plays my son on the Goldbergs. They did that with his parents.
Really?
Yeah.
And they
figured it out that based on the cell phone information and blah, 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 they had a little write-up in a community newspaper from where they're from, and someone read it and was using the brother's name. And I don't sound like myself because I got in a fight and I had some teeth knocked out. You know, blah, blah, blah. Can you wire some money? They also tried to get to their grandparents. But that scam
that
is happening.
That is
working, unfortunately.
I know. And that's what I really got with my grandparents. I was like, just so you know, like that's just not me. And they're like, we know. But it's like, it makes me so upset. I mean, that is a horrible person to prey on nervous old people and to claim to be their family and needing money from them is just like, oh my God, what a.
I know. Can you imagine if that's your existence? You're the person who does that.
Yeah. And how do you go about, like, what? You just have a whole list of numbers you're calling, or do you? I mean, you're just trying to get money. Ugh. Horrifying.
Oh, well, God. Now I don't feel so bad about stealing books.
So don't feel bad about stealing books or having fun.
Also, or having fun. The two things I've learned.
To say, having fun with people who call you telemarketers, but that's, I'm just going to leave it at having fun.
What a great lesson.
Stealing books
don't
and having fun.
Feel bad about stealing books or having fun.
Another scotch, please. Oh, it's so great and wonderful. Well, we're about running out of time, my darlings.
Well,
I am so sorry, but it's been so wonderful.
I've learned a lot today.
I've learned a lot.
Don't you be sorry.
Just learn how to be.
Yeah.
Don't sniff people's butts.
No.
If you're going to steal.
They don't like it.
No.
Yeah, they don't
they
enjoy
don't
it.
They don't like it.
If you're going to steal books, please let them be Pauline Kael reviews of 80s movies.
Everybody watch MAME with Lucy Ball.
Yes.
So
watch MAME if you can. I dare you. I'm dying to go home and watch this.
I'm kind of surprised that you haven't.
I know.
So bad.
Everything in the movie is like mauve. It like has this weird like old film strip quality. You know, this old, that color that sort of... You know, that filtered
it's also
over
an interesting that those sort of musicals like MAME where everyone sings a song about the lead characters. That's kind of dead genre now. But like, you're this wonderful woman. That's basically all they said. Look at this wonderful woman.
They're trying to tell you how great she is because you're getting none of it from the source. It's like you're getting no
The
enjoyment.
Choreography is amazing.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I think I did it in grammar school.
Who choreographed MAME? Do you remember? Do you know?
Helen Hayes. I don't remember who choreographed MAME.
I'd love if Helen. I just don't know if it was somebody famous. Like if it was like
Jerome Robbins.
It
or...
could have. I mean,
I don't know.
Like
it might
that.
Have been.
Yeah, but obviously it wasn't Fosse or whatever. But like it was. Oh.
I had to kind of lay off of Lucy after the Lucy show. I don't know if you ever tried to
pretty,
sit through
pretty
that.
Pretty horrible.
Well, here's Lucy. I kind of love watching them because they are terrible.
Yes,
but. There's something about it that the colors of it or something like I enjoy watching.
They're super saturated.
And it's just so broad and vaudeville that I enjoy it. It's terrible.
Trying to get little Lucy. What is her name?
Lucy Arnaz.
Lucy Arnaz.
Yeah.
Do you remember Lucille Ball's last show? Her very last show was in the 80s. It was called Life with Lucy, and she was a grandmother, and she was too old to be doing this shit. This was her last hurrah. Uh-huh. It didn't even last a season. And
the show with the duck in the opening credits?
Yes.
Yes.
And one critic...
There's a duck in the opening credits.
Not Pauline Kael, called it Death with Lucy. Can I also say, one of my favorite reviews also was an LA Weekly review of when City Slickers 2 came out, and all they wrote was raging bullshit. Oh, that was genius.
Raging bullshit.
All right.
That's so good. Yeah, exactly. Like Xanadol.
So they liked it.
Yeah. The Legend of Curly's Gold. I believe that's what that's called. Why do I know that? I don't even know if I've seen City Slickers 2, but
haven't.
I know it's called that.
But it offended your sensibilities so much that you couldn't forget that name. Legend of Curly's Gold. That's like a Nancy Drew book.
Totally.
And they're like, in the 90s, this makes sense. You know, like Jack Palance won the Oscar for it, right?
He won it for the first one.
For the first one.
And I think his character died or something and came
he
back
does,
as a ghost.
He does, and he's
in the
a ghost
one.
In the second one.
Like he's Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes. And is Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern and
then, no, it's what's his face from When Harry Met Sally?
Billy Crystal.
No, the other guy, Bruno Kirby.
Kirby.
It's
not Joe Pesci.
It's not Bruno Joe Pesci.
Okay.
But I think it was Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I always got Daniel Stern and Judge Reinhold confused.
No, it's Daniel Stern.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Stern, for sure. All right, anyway. We've cleared that up.
Whatever happened to Judge Reinhold?
I don't... Oh, I don't know.
Wasn't he arrested recently?
He's been arrested a lot. He was screaming at someone at the airport. So you don't know how to be, Judge. Yes, he was screaming at someone at the airport because security.
He was screaming about gremlins?
I guess he wasn't appreciated how he was treated going through security. Huh. And he got a lot of flack for it. So you got to learn how to be.
Learn how to be.
Just because you were in Fast Times, you don't get away with
it. Yeah, I know. Or Ruthless People. We love you. But
Ruthless People.
Great movie.
Helen Slater.
The greatest. All right.
Supergirl. The secret of my success.
I'm so drunk. You guys are so
remember,
drunk.
I can't believe I believe Helen Slater movie. I remember Helen Slater movie.
Oh, she was a hot moment. Yeah. She had 1987 or like 85, 86. 88 was like hurt.
Was she dating Michael J. Fox? Do I have that memory right?
No, Michael J. Fox was dating Tracy Pollan.
No, he married her, but I thought before that maybe.
Oh, I don't.
Maybe I'm wrong. It's possible.
They were. She was in The Secret of My Success.
Yes.
Though, so that's maybe in my mind. Yeah. They were a couple in that movie.
I love that movie. She's great in that movie.
Well, it's not that great.
You can't. I'm sure it doesn't hold up at all. But oh god, when
the opening! If you ever get a chance to just watch the opening credits, it's so wonderfully 80s.
Because 80s New York montage.
Oh,
everyone
I love
in the
an
streets.
80s New York montage.
Yep. Yeah. They're just baby boom type.
Bright lights, big city.
Oh yeah. And what's the one? Even in the beginning of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, when it's like they're going through the city. Trying to get a cab.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
I love 80s New York.
Oh, it's so good.
It attracted me to it. I was like, I want to live that life. Because, I mean, just the small town, slow doldrums of growing up. And like, it's so boring here. And I just loved just the shots of the city and the skyscrapers.
And everyone moving.
Oh. Yes.
Women in their dresses and their sneakers because they had to go places.
Jan Hooks is out of breath, throwing herself up against a cab. Yes, that's what I want.
I want that life. I want to wear pantyhose and kick my leg.
All right. I want to thank my guests.
I want to watch Baby Boom
now. Oh, we have to be done. I'm so sorry. All right. I want to thank my guests, Mitch Silpa and Wendy McLennan Covey. Thank you all so much for coming on
the
show.
Thank you.
Y'all are both delightful. Everybody, this is the worst. I'm like,
are we going to sing it out?
We're all going to sing. This has been another episode of Minor Revelations with Drew Drogi. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Ha ha ha.